In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor tells you about a zero-net energy house in Champaign.
Last November, Champaign resident Scott Willenbrock learned through Environmental Almanac the story of another local man and U of I faculty colleague, Phil Krein, who was installing solar panels on the roof of his garage. For Willenbrock, a professor of physics, the timing of that segment was perfect. That's because he was in the midst of a project to make his own family's two-story colonial home, a conventional structure built in 1929, zero net energy. In other words, they would generate on-site as much or more energy than they would use over the course of a year. It's one thing to build zero net energy from the ground up, Willenbrock said to me, citing a number of local examples. In that case, he pointed out, you can take advantage of a whole range of opportunities to insulate and weather seal and maximize the benefits of direct sunlight. The question he wanted to answer was what people who live in older houses can do. Willenbrock's question was motivated by the conviction that individuals have an ethical duty to join the battle to limit global warming. And he hopes his approach to answering that question will provide a rational model for others to follow. The most cost-efficient way to reduce fossil fuel consumption in homes is to reduce demand for heating and cooling. So Willenbrock began his zero-net energy quest by hiring a contractor certified with Ameren's Act on Energy program to evaluate the insulation and weather sealing of his home. That evaluation turned up numerous opportunities for improvement, and Willenbrock took full advantage of all of them. According to his calculations, weatherization alone resulted in energy savings of roughly 30%. Willenbrock's zero-net energy quest also coincided with the need to replace an aging furnace and air conditioner. He and his spouse considered the options together and decided on a geothermal system, which is by far the most efficient way to heat and cool with electricity. The last step in this zero-net energy quest was to add some renewably generated electricity. And that brings us back to solar panels. Previously, Willenbrock had gotten quotes from a couple of professional solar installers that discouraged him from making the investment. Reading about Phil Krein's DIY project, however, prompted him to investigate ordering panels online and installing them himself. He began where Krein had, on the roof of his garage. He designed a configuration to make the best use of the space available, and then worked by phone with the same Arkansas-based vendor Krein had used to order panels. After they arrived, he installed them with help from a handyman who had done other work at the house and hired an electrician to tie them into the grid. Since he did not want to work on a second-floor roof, he hired a local building contractor, New Prairie Construction, to do that installation, again using panels he had ordered himself. Even with the added cost for labor, he still spent about 40% less than the quotes he had gotten to start. I mentioned before that Willenbrock was motivated to pursue this project by a sense of personal responsibility for limiting global warming, and I suspect many listeners share that conviction. I do too. The Act on Energy contractor is working at my house this week. You can visit Scott Willenbrock's house this Saturday as part of a national tour of solar homes. Details on that are available through the Environmental Almanac website.
To find out more about Environmental Almanac, to listen to it again, or to see lots of photos, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. The Environmental Almanac is a service of the University of Illinois School of Earth, Society, and Environment, where Rob Cantor serves as communication coordinator.